By popular demand, we are doing our second long-form miniseries for a manga too long for us to cover in a main Shonen Flop episode. This time, we're talking about Magu-chan, God of Destruction. In this episode, we are finishing the series. What a ride it's been, right, Jordan?
Oh my god, we're finishing it up. Wow.
We're doing Volume 9, Chapters 71 through 77.1. Yes, that's right. There's a little extra, a little bonus guy. And we are joined today for the first time by not just one guest, not just two guests, but two guests.
I get it. Yeah, nice.
Oh, but we are joined by our very own Tucker and Maxie V.
Hi, I'm Tucker.
Mind telling the audience a little bit about yourselves?
Hi, I'm Tucker. You know, I've been doing a bunch of stuff for the podcast for a while. You've probably heard, well, you might have heard me on the previous episode of Cool Shock BT.
Hell yeah.
I personally single-handedly brought it back for its comeback chapter last year or so, I believe it was.
Yeah, Tucker did that.
That was all me. You're welcome. I also do lots of miscellaneous translation and pronunciation work. Been to the YouTube channel. I've done a lot of YouTube videos and stuff like that. And do stuff on the Discord. All sorts of stuff, mostly behind the scenes. But now I'm in front of the scenes.
Heck yeah.
I believe there's somebody else here. Who are they, though? Would you,
When Jordan goes on the beach, there's only one set of footsteps because Maxie B is carrying them. Maxie B, awesome. Mind introducing yourself?
Show on my back with my basic trivia. Terrible, really.
Pretty much.
Well, in UK, the gravity is a lot weaker there, so it's much easier to do so, right?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. It's a part of being an island. It has to be light enough that we don't sink. Like, we have a Master Emerald in the center of it. You know how it is. You've all played Sonic 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Obama was talking about at the press conference, right?
Yeah. Knuckles, you know, I hear he doesn't chuckle except for the first time he ever shows up in which he chuckles.
A massive contradiction, really.
It's a problem. It's honestly a huge plot hole that just shows Sega doesn't care about Sonic Team.
Oh, is that what people mean when they say Knuckles is problematic?
Of course.
Yes.
Still, I hope someone was fired for that blunder.
Knuckles has had some very controversial views about the Portuguese.
Oh, no.
Jordan was like, what's a country that it's okay to be racist towards? The Portuguese is what he settled on.
Well, actually, I was just thinking about how the orcas have revolted against the Portuguese.
Very basic.
Yes.
But sorry, we're interrupting. Maxie B, please do continue.
That's right, yeah. So I'm Maxie B. I do some research for these guys, as well as doing my own podcast about Mobile Suit Gundam that I record for far too long and edit for even longer. It's painfully long. I'm going to learn how to make short shows. I should be learning from you guys, my masters, of course.
Well, waken my masters.
We are your senseis, after all.
That's how this works. I mostly use my painfully accurate recall of pointless information I've learned over the years, as well as the wonderful machine known as Bing. No, I can't. That felt wrong in my mouth.
Save search on or off?
What are you, Spider-Man? The incredible Andrew Garfield Spider-Man?
I've got to be safe search off. Shonen Jump is for mature people.
Ah, of course.
I just realized Andrew Garfield's also British. So maybe British people just love using Bing.
Andrew Garfield is also British, and he loves lasagna. These are true things.
Oh. See, the cool kids use Alta Vista.
Oh, of course. Or, you know, they go to Jeeves, as we all did back in the day.
Oh, it's just ask.com now. He retired.
Oh, miserable. Terrible.
That is awesome. Tucker, Maxie B, I'm so excited. So let's dive into the plot summary.
The plot of Magu-chan, you know. Magu, Aizuma, Ren, and Nappu have infiltrated the Holy Knight's compound to rescue Ruru. Aizuma valiantly fights against Unaras until it's revealed that, it was all just a prank, bro. What? You thought that Magu-chan would have a fucking plot? What do you think you're fucking reading?
We don't do that here.
No. The Knights just wanted to make sure that Magu actually cared about a human and Unaras wasn't just lying, like usual, you know? I mean, who the fucking trusts Unaras? Magu confronts Unaras's true form and hangs a sign of shame that says liar around her head. And you know, she fucking deserved it. Next, it's Christmas, and Magu tries to become Santa Claus to gain followers and ends up traumatizing a woman into creating a successful clothing line. I love the running joke that Magu-chan will just frequently, like, dress in human form and meet somebody, and it will just inspire their entire lives. Like, the other guy who saw him started a popular death metal band. I really like that. Yeah. Popcorn David.
Then Ruru starts trying to figure out her dreams of the future. So she asks everyone what theirs are, and then she does the same thing the next day and the next day until the gods realize that every day is repeating itself.
It's Groundhog Day!
This is the fault of the second pillar. You peepsy, you. I probably did.
You peepsu.
It's Yupisusu.
Yupisusu, the Eternal, who is a jellyfish. Yupi is trying to grant Ruru's previous wish that these days could go on forever. In reality, they want to find out what humans truly desire and has become impressed with Ruru. When they finally approach Ruru and points out that she's going to die one day, Ruru is just totally cool with it. She lights the blunt and says, fucking just kill me now if you want.
She has accepted death.
With open arms.
Yes.
She's decided that she wants to be a mom and help people like her mom. Aw, isn't that so sweet?
It's so cute, yeah.
Shinzo Abe smiling from beyond the grave.
Oh, oh no! God.
Popcorn Tucker.
Actually, that part of his face got destroyed. Yippee is confused as they go back in time and read all of Magu-chan, God of Destruction. They continue going through and watch as Ruru gets older, gets married, has kids, and becomes a grandma. Finally, on her deathbed, she thanks Magu-chan for destroying her loneliness before passing away. Magu actually starts crying, and it is the saddest thing in the universe.
It's so sad. Aww. Oh my god, you little guy.
Legitimately, yeah, I was like, wow, I can't believe this actually managed to have, like, emotional...
pathos, yeah.
Yeah, emotional pathos here at the end. I was not expecting that. Popcorn is delicious, Maxi.
Hey.
Izuma, Unaris, and that fake guy no one cares about decide that they must sadly seal Magu away again since Ruru is no longer here to keep his power in check. Magu goes to sleep and thinks about his time with Ruru, before one day waking up and meeting a little girl named Ruri, asking her to be his new disciple. Also, Napu started a successful restaurant that's still around in the future. Hell yeah!
Yeah, good for him, man!
There's a bonus chapter where a comedy of errors leads to Ren confessing that he likes Ruru, and she runs away, but it's clear she likes
him
too.
Oh, that's kawaii.
Just like, oh. Kind of undermines the amazing ending it had in Shonen Jump, but, you know, this is fine too.
Yeah, really, this chapter didn't need to exist.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bonus chapter, you know.
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, there's like 180 years of stuff that happens between in that chapter. There was a whole other dark god that they show.
Oh, yeah, and they're like, and this god showed up, but we never talked about him.
I think the author is like, I was planning on introducing this guy pretty soon. I'm just going to have him in here and have him
hang. Wait, which dark god? I don't...
It just shows up for literally like a panel.
Like, Ruru does the whole punishment hanging thing with Magu, I think Naputa-kun, and also that new character. And it said, we eventually met new dark gods and became friends with them.
I don't remember that. Oh, my god.
And it has a brand new design that doesn't appear anywhere else. So,
oh man, that's just like how Tricks Dedicated to Witches ends with like a character in shadow that we just never ever meet.
Whose face was also still shown on the first chapter.
Yeah.
I designed this character ages ago. I can't use this anywhere else. I'm just putting it in here.
But speaking of characters, let's get into the characters. So Jordan, why don't you tell us about Magu?
Magu fully cares about Ruru. Like, at the very end, he learns what loss is like. He learns what loneliness is like. And when I say loss, I don't mean loss.
Yeah, not talking about the JPEG.
Yay!
It's so sad. Like, he watches Ruru die. He's, like, sleeping. That chapter's called, like, he dreams something, I think.
It's actually a reference to a Lovecraft.
Cthulhu, yeah, Cthulhu,
to a Lovecraft story, yeah.
Which I thought was interesting, because this is obviously influenced by Lovecraft minus the racism. But yeah, no, Magu is... very cute here. He actually gets really angry at Unaris when he discovers that she was just like lying about kidnapping Ruru, which it's sweet. It's like, no, he genuinely fucking cares. And he's really like, how fucking dare you make me think she's in danger?
That's such a big cat energy too. Yeah. Where it's really the end stage of cat character development is legitimately caring about you.
Yeah.
Maxi B, would you mind to tell us a little bit about Ruru?
I don't know, Ruru in this volume, I think, has just come along wonderfully. Like, she's still just a naive, fun-loving girl, whatever, but you actually get to see her thinking about permanent futuristic concepts, like the future and having kids and, you know, the end of all things. And it's, like, a lot more than I would expect from someone who's kind of just there to facilitate goofy demon happenings. Or, well, you know, obviously we had, like, sad chapters involving her mum and stuff before, but it's still weaving its way into the gags here, which is really interesting. I'd like to learn this volume.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the offer was, like, really trying to slow drip her character development, and then when it ended, he's like, okay, well, I'll do, like, you know, like, 3 volumes of her character development in, like, 4 chapters, which is really what he needed to do anyway.
Absolutely.
Just the character growth for anyone who wasn't Naputa was a slog at times.
I really liked her in this volume. We did get some growth where she was just trying to figure out what she wanted to be. The thing she wanted to be was kind of just like a normal person, mm-hmm. which like, that's nice. She has fully accepted death. She has ascended. She has risen above her peers. She is ready to join Project Mayhem.
She's actually Big Mom from Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, I see. That makes total sense.
I think she's in charge of the Human Instrumentality Project.
Well, Tucker, ever since you stopped, someone had to take over.
It was genuinely sad to see her die, and
I can't believe, like, it actually showed her dying.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it either. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, actually drew her on a hospital bed, surrounded by loved ones, and dies, and Mago's just right there.
Yeah, all right, but let's get back into happy things. And you know what character always makes me smile, Jordan?
Naputa.
Yes, as is always, I always rig it, so I'll talk about Naputa. 100% the best character in the series. I love him so much. He kind of finished his character arc in the last block of chapters, but you know what? He's just a fun, cool guy. His crabs are fun, and he becomes a successful businessman, and I think he 100% deserves the ending he got.
He does. I love how subtle it is in, like, the last chapter you see him leaving to start up his own, you know, ramen cart. And then in the last couple pages, in, like, it's, like, the far future and Magu has awakened again. And then you just see on the side, oh, look, it's Naputa's restaurant. It's still here and it's a full restaurant. It's like, that's fucking awesome. Congratulations, Napu.
And in the kanji on it, it's called a dining hall, the same thing as the Fujisawa's dining hall that he started working in.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's basically, he designed it exactly like Rin's family's business.
Oh,
it's nice for the real main character to get what they deserve, you know?
Yeah.
If there is ever a canceled manga where I wish they had done a spinoff, it goes Naputa and then Debonair Diamond.
David!
So, Shokugeki no Naputa?
I don't know what that means, but yeah.
Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma.
Oh.
Imagine he showed up like he showed up in Protect Me Shugamaru.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God, David. You had to fucking...
And they never explain why he's there at the end. They're just like, so what was up with the starfish?
You know what? They never had to. I didn't give a shit. I don't think anybody gave a shit about anything regarding to Protect Me Shugamaru.
Oh, no, I was saying if Naputa showed up in Food Wars like that.
Oh, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Did y'all notice how Naputa, at the end, they like insinuate that throughout most of the series, Naputa's frenzied voice hadn't been working, and all the things he was controlling actually just liked taking his orders?
Aw, I didn't pick up on that. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was a little subtle, but yeah, it was just like, it stopped working whenever he like lost consciousness or whatever, and so they were just doing it because they liked to.
Oh yeah, of course, because you actually get a visual flair with him using it this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then it wears off, like, almost right away.
Oh, yeah, it lasts, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah, he can't maintain it. That's the thing. So it's like those hermit crabs and the shark and everything.
I love the shark.
And he got screwed up by Yapisusu, right?
Yeah.
Like, it devolved him or something? I don't know. It doesn't matter very much.
He got given a big squeeze.
We do need to, unfortunately, move on to our characters for the sake of time, but Kirbymon has a cool piece of trivia where Naputa normally doesn't call people by their names. He calls them things like boy and girl, but in that very last bonus chapter, he actually calls Ren by his name, which is the only time he does that in the entire series.
Aw, that's awesome. You can tell that Napu really has started to care. Like, I also think it is hilarious when Napu is just holding, like, his little envelope with, where, like, his money should be. And he's like, wait, I'm gotta get paid tomorrow. Like, I love the whole Groundhog Day thing. It's just like, Napu just, like, he's constantly waiting to get paid. It's tomorrow, but tomorrow's never coming. He's like, when am I gonna get paid? I love that.
He wants to buy eggs and milk.
He just wants to buy eggs and milk. He wants to eat pudding. He wants to make food.
He's getting cooking blue balls.
Actually, thinking and talking about desserts makes me think of Unras. So, Maxi B, do you mind telling us all about how her plan was all according to cake?
Nice.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The mother of all fakeouts. If you can believe it, Unras, a character who has rarely been serious about anything despite foreboding implications of her true form locked away in like the organization's dungeons. It's like, No, once again, she is real life shitposting and just wanted to go and prove to everyone that actually the demons are good. With gods, rather. Which is amazing. Like, I love that. Like, it's consistency in character, but it's done to prove a point. What more could you want?
Unaras is easily, like, the second best character next to Navita to me.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
But she's the one that actually moves plots forward.
Yeah.
She's just such a little shit in the best way.
She is great. She is just there to cause chaos and have a good time. And it's great. Like, we do also see her true form, which was very interesting. And Magu's commented is like, Unaras, you look like shit. Like, what the fuck happened? And Unaras is just like, yeah. He's like, damn, I guess making all those, like, special objects really fucking took it out of you. And she's like, yeah, but I stan people too much, you know? And I'm a really devoted stan.
And then let's move on to Ren, where Ren still kind of serves, kind of forgets about him, especially because Nobuta is just so much more interesting as his partner. But I do appreciate that he professes love, which was nice.
Yeah, well, he says that he likes her. It was like the beginning of of that. I liked how that whole thing started with the UPC suit coming back and being like, people are being really encouraging to Ren. And they're like, yeah, Ren, I'm sure that like it'll work out one day. And UPC is like, nah, not one. I looked into your future, man. You wind up alone. You probably change that, but like, you gotta fucking get on it, dude. <You're> gonna...
Yeah. And then Tucker, do you mind telling us about Zuma?
He starts out as just a guy who's been in the wrong genre. He is a shonen action hero who gets plopped down into this world and just can't accept it and just continuously falls flat on his face because he can't accept that he's in a gag manga. But he eventually becomes much more integrated with everyone else and more of a... actual member of society who isn't just a shonen action boy freak. And it's, you know, it's Unaras as his basically mom, who basically keeps kind of pushing him into becoming a real boy and finally going to high school because he's just been in the middle of the woods and he's way older than everyone else.
I love the graduation chapter where Unaras has, like, brought all the 10 holy knights there to, like, help her film his graduation. It's so cute.
She's just so proud.
Yes, she's so proud!
And you have a cameraman with an open shirt and stuff.
Yeah.
And another guy with a suit and just a knight's helmet and a suit.
Oh, that's great. I love the teacher who was like an evil cultist, but he's just so proud that Izumo was able to make it into high school. He just starts crying too. And it's like, damn, that guy, educator first, man. Educator first.
Yep. All right. And then Maxi B, will you tell us about Yapisusu?
Yapisusu's great. She's literally that big jellyfish creature from Pokemon Sun and Moon.
I was thinking about that. It looks exactly like that Pokemon.
I was going to say, I didn't know which Pokemon she looked like, but definitely, I was like, this is the most Pokemon design that I've seen.
100%.
Like Malamar, I think?
It's one of the Ultra Beasts, right?
One of the Ultra Beasts. Although, yeah, like Malamar vibes too, like the one you have to evolve by turning it upside down.
I was thinking she had like Lugia hands.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good call. So yeah, just all the Pokemon possible amalgamated.
Just like a few Pokemon.
All these dark gods really are very Pokemon-esque.
I mean, Magu is, like, a pretty good Pokemon design, better than a lot of the recent ones. Yeah. Cough, cough.
Yeah.
Magu's totally got, like, Digimon baby form energy, like the little jellyfish that turns into Patamon.
Exactly, yes. A lot of the times, these do feel more like little Digimon. Yeah. Like, Magu is 100% like
Maybe the Zephyr should make a Digimon manga after this.
Ooh, I'd read that.
I'd be so down. All the Digimon manga run over in V-Jump. Like, they've got an easy in. That's one magazine over.
And then I think the cool thing about this dude is that he was the narrator the whole time.
Oh!
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Yapisusu was the narrator the entire time.
There's actually a really cool hint in that, Jordan. We talked about this really early on, how every god has their own text box shape.
I did notice, wow, Yubisisu has like the same text box as the narrator. I didn't fully make that connection, though. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I have like a surprising amount of subtlety, you know?
Yeah.
That one of the final arcs, Yapisusu is like, I want to go back and see how Lulu and Magu-chan first met. And they said like, oh, that's the beginning of Magu-chan God of Destruction. So yeah, Yapisusu zapped back and basically started the manga by going back in time and seeing how everything got up to that point.
I definitely did notice that like Yapisusu was going to read all of Magu-chan basically. And I noticed, oh, that's cool. It's kind of meta. But I didn't put together just how meta it was. That's really cool. I like that.
But unfortunately, we can't talk about the things it did well yet, because we have to stop at where it did worse just for a moment. I feel like, as we alluded to with Naputa, a lot of these characters finished their character arcs a few volumes before, and the series just kind of felt like it was treading water until it was like, I'm ending, I have to wrap up everything I ever had planned.
This couldn't have kept going after this. This ended when it needed to.
I think this would have been a really, really great series if it had only run for like 5 volumes.
This did go on kind of too long. And, you know, it's so funny because, like, I remember in, like, the last episode, I think Derek was like, oh, hey, you know, they're finally starting a plot. And then they resolve it the next chapter. Like, they never are going to have a plot. Come on.
Tucker, Maxi B, what did you two think?
I kind of agree. Like, it feels like kind of long in the tooth at this point. Like, it's still good, but you could have trimmed the fat out of the middle of all this and nothing would have hurt, like, as a general series. And, like, yeah. And what here really needed to be there for the end, literally the final chapter, that's it. Like, everything else is just more Mugu-chan. Kind of makes you wonder if the series was supposed to be cancelled, like, months ago and it got a stay of execution. Because it does just kind of feel like it circled the drain a little.
Well, actually, I can speak to this. I believe that the author at least assumed the series was going to get canceled around Volume 3 when Ruru's mom shows up, and that's why they did like that big like holiday thing.
I kind of feel like maybe they were considering axing Mugu-chan, but the thing is, there were so many worse things running in Shonen Jump.
Oh, it's been a rough few years.
And the thing about Mugu-chan is, yeah, it sometimes does get kind of boring and stuff, but like, it's never terrible. Like, it's never really bad. So I guess they were kind of like, you know, we got this other shit to cancel. Let's deal with Mugu later.
Like running this next to like Hi-Fi Cluster and, and fucking Build King. It's just like, let's keep this around.
Yeah. We need some fucking manga running, you know?
Stuff like this isn't around and Oda gets like sick for 2 weeks. The entire magazine is just going to collapse.
Pretty much, yeah.
This is like High School Family, where High School Family probably ran longer, where editors just like this series. You're like, it's kind of harmless to keep it going. Let's just, you know, why not?
Yeah, we don't have to send mental health professionals to the authors of these and ask, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, it's like, it's not really going anywhere, but like, yeah, it is kind of harmless and it's kind of fun, you know, like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll pick up another Shonen Jump and I'll check out what's going on with Mugu this week, you know?
That's kind of the magic of gag series, is that they are like a comfort food. They don't have to sell well. They don't have to be popular. It's just if editorial look at them and they think like, yeah, this is a nice chuckle in the middle or the end of the magazine. It lives.
It's nice. It's nice little filler.
Really miss High School Family.
Yeah. I feel you.
I actually do think that our negative I had listed was, I feel like the series kind of isn't trying to be as funny in this last volume because it is trying to resolve everything, but it's like, you can't really blame it for putting that on the wayside when it's literally trying to resolve like a year's worth of plot in a volume.
A year's worth of what?
A year's worth of plot.
What is this plot you speak of?
Oh, fine, whatever. All right, let's get into where it did better.
No, I know what you mean.
Oh, you guys are goofing on me. We're having fun. All right, Tucker, do you mind telling us something that you feel this volume did better than the other parts of Mugu-chan you've read?
I feel like the art got better towards the latter part of Mugu-chan. It was honestly like the very early volumes of Mugu-chan that's kind of rough. There's not a lot of visually interesting going on. Sometimes, and like oftentimes, it was really not even selling the jokes very well because you have to have some text box next to it to say like, this happened, when it really should have just shown, not told.
Yeah.
I feel like towards the end, the artist got more experience, but also just more confident in just having like larger panels and having more room dedicated to single panels and actually just showing things that are happening rather than just having text boxes telling you what's happening all the time and kind of not feeling right. So I feel like it became not great, but more visually attention catching than it was early on.
Yeah, I agree.
The ending chapter, you mentioned it before, the ending chapter is beautiful.
Oh, it's such a great ending.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't mean visually. I mean, yeah, it looks good visually, but I just mean, like, the chapter as a whole is just a really beautiful way to go out on.
Well, yeah, they were able to put a lot of subtlety and storytelling in those panels rather than just the text. Like I said, I was able to say, like, hey, there was a lot of these small little things. Did you pick up on this? Did you pick up on this? There was actually, like, a lot there in those panels. It was communicating much more effectively than especially the first half of the series did.
God, the way that Magu is just like, you know, Ruru is dying and he's just holding her hand. And there's like this moment where you can tell he realizes that she's not there anymore. She's died. And he's just like, no, don't go yet. Like, that destroyed me. God, poor little Magu. Oh, poor evil God.
Genuinely heartrending from a gag series.
Genuinely. I mean, like, this series has always had like some kind of like heart to it, you know, but like I wasn't expecting them to just pull that out of their hat.
I expected the series to end with some, like, bullshit antics. Like, the last chapter we made, I kind of thought was kind of the chapter that we'd see as, like, the very end, but not this whole, we're gonna just see Ruru die. It's insane.
Yeah.
The amazing fake out is that the penultimate chapter is, like, that sort of graduating and it's never the end sort of bullshit ending that most cancel manga have. And then it goes, we got one more for you, and you're gonna fucking love it. And I did.
I think that it says a lot that the series was able to have the main character die and have it be, like, hopeful. You know, like, you're sad, but you're not, like... But you're also not sad, you know?
Because it's not a tragedy.
It's a bittersweet thing. Like, she died at an old age, surrounded by friends and family. She was loved. She lived a full life. And it's really nice.
It's pretty much the ending of Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
More or less. She got a little bit more time than Snake did.
That was not being serious.
Not enough CQC hugs between a parent and their cloned child for my liking.
Oh, God.
And we haven't even mentioned Magu walked her down the aisle because her father passed away.
Yes. I love that.
They cut out the part where Ruru and Rin fought each other on top of an aircraft carrier. The editor thought that was a little bit too much.
Oh, yeah. That's chapter 77.2.
Yeah.
And then, also, Santa Magu was just absolutely adorable.
I love Santa Magu. You know, it's great how Magu, like, goes to give the commencement speech. Like, he dresses up in, like, you know, his weird, like, quote-unquote human form. Human form. And he gives a speech where it's like, it's inspiring, but I also liked that what he was literally saying is, now you have all become my followers and you will all help support me take over the world. But like, it comes off as like a side effect. It winds up being very inspiring. I liked how he was able to do both at the same time, like keeping it in character.
Takes smart writing to do that.
Does anyone have any other positives, or should we go into miscellaneous spots as we are wrapping this up, unfortunately?
I really like how they kind of, like, Magu at the very, very end, he kind of drops the whole shtick because he just can't keep it up anymore. And you can kind of tell that there has been a lot more emotionality behind him, and he kind of has this dark god thing he's kind of kept as a wall to keep people from, like, seeing his real emotions and stuff like that. And at the end, it kind of just finally falters, and you see that he does have lots of genuine emotional attachments behind it. And at the very end, he just says, I feel quite weary.
When he was imagining Ruru with him in his, when he was dreaming of Ruru, I mean, he says, this is not a dream, but I mean, you know, it was kind of a dream. The first time I read it, this is the second time I read it, I definitely teared up. Like, I was just like, oh my God, Magu, oh.
Oh, I did too. I remember reading this on my flight, and Rachel was like, why are you crying? And I was like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry, you'll find out someday, Rachel.
No.
You'll find out you're part of the Patreon.
Yeah, but she doesn't listen to any of this. She just supports me.
Yeah.
But shall we get some miscellaneous thoughts?
Absolutely.
So, Maxi B, what is on the docket? Do you have any fun trivia for us?
Okay, got three things for you. Number one,
there's
a 5-page epilogue that wasn't translated yet. You have to wait for the Viz edition in a few months.
Ugh.
Just a little bit of Magu hanging out with Ruri in the future. It's just kind of twee. Aww. I've not given it much of a read because I literally bought the volume right before recording this.
Huh.
That is cool.
Number two, we finally have an assistant page in this volume. Psych, the series is kind of missing beforehand. And we know that Shinpei Watanabe of Ginka and Luna fame is among the assistants.
Oh,
you mean Luna.
You mean next episode?
Oh, man.
Oh, the things I could say, but you'll find out. You'll find out.
No, that's very ominous.
I mean, I liked that first chapter, but at the same time, the whole coming up with a fake Alpine language that you just trust your readers to be able to kind of piece that together, it gives me a bad feeling about...
Yeah, we'll find out. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, no spoilers.
I don't want to spoil anything, but it's just the comic storytelling is garbage. It does not go from panel to panel so much as have a bunch of illustrations, which is great if you like illustrations, but this is a fucking comic. Maga-chan, that's a comic.
That's real comic, yeah. Maxi V. Yeah.
Final little fact for you, the series that replaced this was Akane Banashi. So this series didn't have a lot of plot, but was followed up by a series that is all plot, all the time, including telling you extra plots.
And at least it was replaced by something that was a big W for Shonen Jump.
Oh, 100%.
Kind of the biggest W Shonen Jump has had recently.
Really?
Is that the Rakugo?
Yeah.
Rakugo, yeah.
Hands down, the best thing they're running right now.
Huh.
I actually went to go see a Rakugo show because I started reading it.
I'll have to, like, check back in on it. Like, I haven't read it since we did that episode on, like, the first chapter.
Oh, they have it, Jordan. They have, like, a Nen parody that's really funny.
Oh,
where it's, like, the six types of storytelling. And the guy's like, did you just make that up?
Nice. I'll have to check it out,
No
yeah.
colors, right?
You'll see. But yeah, and then, so, Maxi B, thank you for that trivia. I know Kirbymon actually has some really cool trivia they've shared with me, so I'm going to try and get through this real quick. They have made a really awesome document all about the character poll where we knew Naputo won, as he deserved, and that ran from June 28th, 2021 to July 28th. Fans could vote once a day online. There was 44 different options in a free space.
There are 44 characters in Magu-chan?
Yeah. Eventually, they ran out of actual characters and put in joke options like the weird souvenir brewer's mom bought and Unrest's HD video camera.
Oh, beautiful.
And so it ran from chapter 49 to 52, and the results were posted in Weekly Shonen Jump, issue number 1, 2022, which released December 6, 2021, along with chapter 70. The poll received almost 69,000 votes. Nice.
Nice.
And so that actually was more votes than the Mashal poll got, which was pretty cool, but less than Sakamoto's first poll. Yosakura Family only got 19,000 votes, so that means that Naputo got more votes than that manga's entire character popularity poll.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And yeah, so Naputo had a plushie made for winning the poll.
Yes, and I saw those four coma ones, and in one of those it was a little bit hard to read because of the resolution, but Naputo believed that little plushie is his child.
Oh,
the top three were of course Naputo, and then Magu, and then Ruru. The offer had a note when Naputo won, said seriously. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Kirbymon has made this document. I will include it in the show notes, of course, for this episode so people can read through it. I also, by the way, as a person, had a miscellaneous thought where I realized, you know who would be the perfect voice actor for Naputo if they had made a dub?
I mean, I see it in here, but who, David?
Dana Snyder, aka Master Shake from Aqua Teen. Until I realized that that's the voice I used while I was reading it.
I feel like Steve Bloom could pull it off. And then for Magu, you know, he's also sinister, but like a little darker. I feel like if you got a guy like Steve Bloom.
I thought Keith David would be like a really, really deep voice.
Yeah. And then for Unaras, maybe like Steve Bloom.
George, just everyone should be played by Steve Bloom.
I mean, haven't you watched anime?
That's true.
Like fucking Steve Bloom.
So yeah, also, did you guys notice this is the only chapter where I think someone actually lost their sanity by seeing the Elder Gods?
Oh, good, yeah.
Like Lovecraft style.
Well, there was that other one where the guy got so freaked out he started a death metal band.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right, fair enough. I kind of wish they made a manga of just, like, all of the characters that interacted with the gods and disappeared, like, interacting with each other again. So it'd be like the fashion designer meets the musician.
They all started a cult, and all the cult's activities are based off of things that happened in chapters of Magu-chan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would be great. And then, overall, how happy do you feel Magu-chan would be to destroy these chapters, where he would be happier to destroy better quality chapters?
I feel like this was the best volume of Magu-chan. I really do. And I think he would absolutely love to.
I completely agree.
He'd relish it, but he'd have a tear in his eye while doing it, you know?
I was going to say, he'd be crying.
Yeah.
And then he would claim that he didn't cry later.
And then if I was to normalize it, I would say this is definitely not a flop, and it's pretty strong. As we ranked on the list, it's not the best thing we've ever read, but it's up there as one of the best things we've read for the show.
It's in the top 10, at least.
Maybe even top 5.
Maybe. I mean, it's not that much competition.
That ending, wow, it like probably went up a tier just for that ending.
That was like a Time Paradox Ghost Rider level ending almost. Like, I feel like if it was a lot shorter, it might be closer to that tier. I still think Time Paradox is better, but that was wonderful. That was a really beautiful way to end the comic.
Oh, yeah. And Time Paradox is weird because it kind of turned itself into a mini series that worked really well. Like, there's no fat in Time Paradox Ghost Rider.
there's a little too much fat in Magu-chan. And
this was a tight 5 volumes. I could see this being one of the best things we ever read.
Yeah.
How about you guys? Do you have any other final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Good manga, innit? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maxie B's just sipping tea.
Maxie B, there was a little bit of a pause there because, yes, they were sipping tea.
I'd just be really disappointed if I just point out I'm drinking non-alcoholic beer. Letting my people down.
Aww.
Oh, okay.
You never let us down.
No offense, but you know, the British kind of deserve to be let down every now and then.
Oh, sink the island, we fucking suck, man.
Yeah, one of the questions, you never ask a man how much they make, you never ask a woman how old they are, and you never ask a British person when their Independence Day is.
Hasn't the whole last 100 years been kind of a letdown for the British Empire? That's kind of the whole arc of the last century of their history.
Yeah, especially the last 10 years, you know. Yeah.
All right. But Maxie B, you never let me down. Neither do you, Tucker. Both of you, thank you so much for being on the show. Maxie B, do you mind kicking things off by just telling the audience where they can find all the wonderful things you do?
Absolutely. You can go and find my wonderful Mobile Suit Gundam podcast, Radio Gundam, on any good provider, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you like, it'll be on there. You can find me on Twitter at MaxieTheB, where I mostly just kind of hope the website will die so I can stop using it and feel free. And you can find show notes for both the Radio Gundam podcast, and I do a little write-up where I just talk about what the research process was like for each shonen flop over on my website at beehivepods.wordpress.com.
That's hell awesome. Yeah. And then Tucker, how about you?
On the Discord and stuff, I haven't used Twitter in years. I'm free.
Oh, jealous.
Good. Oh, you're so lucky.
Because I had some very severe mental health issues, and that's one of the things I did to stop having constant anxiety attacks.
Smart.
And so I've just been kind of sitting by and laughing at everything that's been happening.
Right.
But I am on the Shonen Flop Discord. That's probably the best way of getting in touch with me.
That's awesome. Well, thank you both. And this is a wonderful time having our first episode with two guests. I know it was a little rough around the edges, but I think it was still a ton of fun. Speaking of, Jordan, thank you so much for all your hard work on the show.
David, thank you so much for the hard work that you do on the show.
And I want to say thank you to all of our wonderful patrons. We would not be able to make this bonus content without you. Thank you so much for letting us continue to do the show. And just a reminder, you can find us on Twitter at Shonen Flopcast if you're trying to still use that hell site, and our website, shonenflop.com. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, or wherever else you get your podcast.
And thank you so much, Ravioli, for being one of our tiers.
Oh, she's just a good little goblin. She had a great play date.
Aww.
It was very cute. Aww. I'll post a picture in the chat. Just because it has my friend in the picture, so I probably shouldn't post it on the Discord. But yeah, and also props to Shannon for the awesome cover. You can find her online at Illuminati. We're going to be doing some one-offs, taking a little break from the long-form series, but we have some very excited episodes and some guests that people have been asking to come back for quite a while.
Hell yeah.
All right, well, with that, bye.
Bye.
So long.
Arrivederci.
And thanks for all the fish. Bye.
Bye.
I'm an adult.